We've been taking a look at the grape, the use of the grape and all things related in the scriptures on Wednesday evenings. And last Wednesday, we embarked upon this of the use of allegory in the scripture and talked about that. Related to that is that of parables and using things that are in the world to explain things to us that apply to us. The Lord uses that. We saw how last time that the Lord used this of the vine to tell about his nation Israel. And so I mentioned to you last Wednesday that also, in contrast to that, the vine used to indicate and show Israel, the Lord, and we looked at passages regarding to that. But then the Lord also uses the vine, the Lord Jesus uses the vine to show himself. And our relationship with him. So we wanted to go ahead and address that, since I had mentioned that, address that tonight. And so I want you to, if you will, turn to John chapter 15. As a preface to this, this message, this topic of this chapter is one of several that the Lord deals with. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are in similar timing. Take a look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, those things of the fulfilling of his gospel and his resurrection. They kind of do so on the same timing. The Gospel of John stands out in that John deals with things early on, but then has a great magnification, if you will, to things happening at the end. And this chapter 15 and the subject for tonight is among several things that the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples, teaches his church, teaches his apostles, and what I like to refer to between the hymn and Gethsemane. Between the hymn and Gethsemane. Hold your finger here in John 15, and you can turn over here to Matthew 26. I use this each time, this passage, each time when we observe the Lord's Supper, and it's detailed, and I just enjoy using it for that, and the things that the Lord said there, recorded that he said there. And so in Matthew 26, we have this of the Lord administering the Lord's Supper, instituting the Lord's Supper in verses 26 through 29. And then verse number 30, which we always read and we follow and obey. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now remember, they're in an upper room somewhere there in Jerusalem. We don't know where. But somewhere in Jerusalem, the Lord has given instruction to Peter and John to go make the Passover ready. And there's time from the time here that they sing this hymn and then go out over to the Mount of Olives. And I think we all understand and know that he's heading towards Gethsemane. There's a lot of things that are said and taught by the Lord Jesus Christ between that. And so here in this, in Matthew, he talks about them being offended. He talks about him being risen again. And so it tells about some of the things that he teaches. But John really zooms in on that. And John, back in the Gospel of John, we're going to go and look at chapter 15. But I want you to take a look before that in chapter 18, verse number 1. John 18, verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, or the Kidron. So we have a marker there that tells us that everything that he's spoken about before in these chapters, chapter 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, he did so while they were on the way to Gethsemane. Come back over here to John chapter 13, and here it is where the Lord is, the Passover is there. This passage tells about the Lord washing, the Lord Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It certainly seems from this that Judas is there during the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Lord says, the one that dips the sop with me in the dish is going to betray me. He also washes Judas's feet according to the timing and the schedule that's given out by this chapter. And then, verse number 30, after the Lord's Supper is instituted, after the Passover is observed, the Lord's Supper is instituted, the Lord washes the disciples' feet. Verse number 30 of chapter 13, and he then, having received the sop, went out immediately out, and it was night. It tells in the earlier verses there about why they thought that Judas went on out. Okay, and then the Lord, from that point, verse 31, begins to teach his disciples and teach us about things that we need to know. And so there's a lot in here. It's a good study, good personal study. And years ago, we went through this from that standpoint, and maybe, Lord willing, someday we'll do it again. But tonight we want to take a look at chapter 15. So imagine the Lord Jesus with the disciples. They're walking through the city of Jerusalem. They're heading over there to go across the Kidron to the Garden of Gethsemane. They had gone there many times before when they had been in Jerusalem, and so it was not unfamiliar to them. It's very late at night when they are doing so. It's in the dark of the night. The Passover's been observed. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. Judas is going out to work his mischief, and they're heading over there. And so many wonderful things that our Lord teaches us in this. But in chapter 15, he speaks unto us about this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And so he speaks here about that which would be known of them about a vineyard. And he says that I am the true vine, not the false vine, not a commonplace vine, but the true vine. I am the true vine. I am the one that is the heart of the matter. I am the one that brings nourishment. I am the one that is all about and wrapped up and filled and is truth, the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. And so we can see that. They can see that in their mind's eye about the fellow that would go around and trimming up, cleaning up the vineyard. The branches that are withered or have been broken or whatever, the cleanup that needed to be done, the nourishment that needed to be affected in the vineyard. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He goes around and is doing this tending, this working. He's cultivating the Lord, and he's cultivating, as we'll see, those that are the Lord. He's working in it. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So a warning. A warning of branches being taken away. From the natural standpoint, why would we have a branch on the vine that would not bear fruit? Again, the end and the purpose of the vineyard is not to look full and green. It's not to bring a pleasure to the eye, but to bring forth fruit. Grapes. Grapes are the goal. The fruit is the goal. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Well, there's always that time for pruning, isn't there? There's time for pruning. There's time for picking of the fruit. Now, maybe that purging could refer to both. We for sure understand about a pruning. Nobody ever wants to be pruned. We don't want to be cut on, but you know, it's by pruning, it's by trial and temptation, by testing that we grow. You think about the fellowship that you've had with your Lord and your Savior. It's been the most helpful. It's been the most felt, if you will, allow me to say it that way, that's been the most evidenced when we have gone through trial and struggle and difficulty. We would say it this way. It's in times like that maybe that we feel the closest to the Lord, because we're in dire need of Him and Him working, and He carries us through difficult times. Is it not through temptation, through trial, through difficulty that our Lord teaches us things? He does. And so he purgeth it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. And so the father, as the husbandman, is interested in fruit. He's interested in his vine, the branches thereof, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit to the honor and the glory of the Lord. Okay? To the testimony of the Lord working in his vineyard. Sometimes that's the way that our ministry, our work is referred to. It's sometimes how pastors refer to the work that they're called to in churches or even missionaries to work in the Lord's vineyard. And so that reference is there. Verse number 3, now ye are clean, a word that means pure. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God. It's by the word of God that we have come to know all that we need to know about the Lord, about our sin, about our need of a Savior, about Christ and that He is the Savior. About the calling of the Lord and the necessity that sinners must believe, they must trust, they must repent. The Lord must work for there to be a rescue. It's God's vineyard. It says in Colossians, it's His operation. And we are certainly the benefactors and those blessed of that. He said, we are clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. He is the word. He is the one by which the Father has spoken unto us in these last days from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there in Hebrews 1 that He spoke in times past by the prophets. But now He's spoken unto us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that very word of the Lord is that which makes us pure. It makes us clean. It washes us. The Word Himself is our Savior. And by His blood, by the blood of the Word, if you will, we have been made clean. What's He say in verse 4? Abide in me. He doesn't say make your own way, does He? He said, doesn't say do the best you can. He says, abide in me. And the way that I like to understand and break down this word is like we do, like it's common for all of us, you abide in your abode, don't you? You live in your house. You and your families, we live in our houses, our abodes where we're at. And Jesus says, abide in me. Dwell in me. Live in me. A personal relationship. A personal walk. A personal communication with our Lord and Savior. Abide in me and I in you. And that is a definition of salvation, isn't it? The Lord living within us. His Spirit living within us. Not religion. Not a denomination, not a creed, not a system or a plan, but a Savior that lives within us and has made a difference in us. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. There are no freelancers. You know what? We can never undertake to worship our Lord, serve our Lord, and be faithful to our Lord on our own. With our own way. With our own scheme. We cannot do it. It's folly to think that we could, that would be honoring and glorifying to the Lord. This is His way. He says, abide in me. Just like that branch is fastened to that vine, that main line of that grapevine, as a branch out here on its own cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide, it dwell in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. So the husbandman's looking for fruit, right? And the Lord tells us, you won't bear any fruit unless you're dwelling in me. Dwell in me. Abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. double emphasis now to make it clear. We need that. We need double emphasis, don't we? We need double and triple and quadruple emphasis. We are sometimes very slow to get it. He's the vine. It's the vine that goes into the earth and has the nourishment, has the access to the water, has the access to the nutrients, is the distributor of such unto the branches. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, again, an emphasis again on those things, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Our salvation is not a do-nothing salvation, is it? No, it's not. We are expected to do for our Lord. We are expected to do, but we cannot do it on our own. We need to do it by abiding in Him. If we undertake to do so by the strength of the flesh and our own will and self-will and grit and determination, we won't be able to do a thing that will glorify the Lord. But abiding in Him, we can bring forth fruit indeed. He says, for those that will abide in me and I in him, and understand there's two things there, abiding in him and the Lord abiding in us. You know, this is only for the saved. It's only for the saved. It's not a plan for somebody to find salvation. It's the operation and the work and the way of those who are saved, who have the Lord within. If he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that's what the husbandman is interested in, right? The father who's looking on, tending, purging, separating out the branches that don't bring fruit. Remember how it is, the reference, and we'll touch on this in message to come. But remember how the reference is in the Scripture about that which bears fruit? The Scripture talks about some 30, some 60, some 100. Won't be all the same. Won't necessarily be the same kind of work, if you will. It'll be along the line of what the Lord has given to do. May not be in the same quantity. But there is fruit that is born. Fruit that is brought forth. And he says, for without me ye can do nothing. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in everything we undertake. As we get up in the morning and we pursue our day, may we do it to the honor and glory and praise of our Lord. We cannot go forward in any simple project or any that great work that we would perceive without our Lord. Brethren, as you go forward to do your jobs, you need the Lord. Ladies, in the work that you have that the Lord's given you, you need the Lord to help you to do that for His honor and His glory, that it might be fruitful and unto him. For without me, he says, ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, so here's another that is indicated. If a man abide not in me, does not dwell in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Branches that are cast forth, we've got some branches out here that I haven't got around that the wind's blown out of the tree that need to be gathered up and piled up to burn or shoved down in the sinkhole. Years ago, there was a lot of things shoved down in the sinkhole. We can get rid of branches pretty good down in the sinkhole, and eventually they will go away. But we understand about that. Those branches are done. There's no taking those branches and putting them in the ground, getting anything to grow out of them. They're done. It's over. And he says, if a man abide not in me, so the Lord is, the branch is not abiding Christ. Obviously, the Christ is not abiding in the branch. He is cast forth as a branch. We understand that. And is withered, they die. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. A reminder about how it is with those that don't abide in the vine. They're on their own. They'll dry up and wither. There is no fruit that is born by them. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And so here we have this mention about the words. We think about the vine and the branches. We think about this of branches being gathered and because they're going to wither and such as that. They're not abiding in Christ. They're not saved. I believe we can make that application. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, those that are gathered and cast into fire, they are getting no sap, are they? But we need the sap of the Word of God. We need the sap of the Word of our Lord. Because we all know that a branch and a branch to bring forth fruit has got to have sap. And we need that. And he says, if ye abide in me, you dwell in me, and my words abide in you, his word from his mouth, the scripture, the word of God, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We have this about the bearing of fruit and bringing it now from the branch and the vine over here to where we are. We need to ask, don't we? Because we need help. We need strength. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need help because we don't know the way. But our Lord is the way, as he will tell the disciples and as he's told them, rather, in chapter 14. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein, verse 8, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The disciples of the Lord are known in one aspect by the fruit that they bear. The fruit that we bear is how we are known to be the Lord Jesus. The fruit that we bear, you can't bear fruit unless you abide in Christ. You can't have life unless you abide in Christ and He abides in us. And the natural thing for that to do is to yield fruit, the sap of His Word abiding in us, us desiring that, us pursuing that, us looking to receive that and to gain that from Him, to that nourishment. We glorify the Father, the husbandman, by bearing much fruit. You know, isn't a husbandman, a gardener, known by the way their garden looks and produces? There's a gardener in the area, and I'll not say their name, but my wife looks on at their garden and says, how do they do that? She wants her garden to look like that and to make like that. How in the world do they do that? Look at that. We'll drive by and say, look at that. How do they keep that all that way and looking that way and everything? Well, see, as the vines or as the branches bear fruit, it's to the honor and glory and praise of the husbandman, isn't it? That's how we glorify our Father, is by bearing much fruit. And the Lord Jesus says, by bearing that fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. It'll be known that you follow me. He brings over here again right to us and where we are. Verse 8. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. What can we say? If we do not keep His commandments, we will not abide in His love. That's the contra of that. That's the opposite of that. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Is there ever a time that Jesus didn't? No, He always keeps the Father's commandments. And do we know about the Lord Jesus' love and dedication to the Father? We sure do. And so that's our example. That's our directive from our Master, from our Lord and our Savior, is to be like Him in His love for the commandments, the Word that has been given unto us, to love and to pursue like Jesus does. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 11, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus has joy by obeying the Father. Jesus has joy to impart unto us. He tells us simply, obey my word. You'll have joy. Joy is, in the scriptures, joy is more than happiness. We have the emotion of happiness that we enjoy as human beings. But happiness, I see that in relative to the scripture, happy things are short-lived. It's a manifestation of the pleasure of the flesh. But joy unspeakable and full of glory is that which we have eternally from our Lord. Joy is not circumstantial. Being happy or sad is. And we experience both. But in this of a walking with and serving and abiding in our Lord, we need the joy. And he says, I've spoken this unto you that my joy might remain in you. Remember, Jesus utters these words as they're walking through Jerusalem on the way to the Brook Kidron, to cross over to Gethsemane. Can you imagine them walking through the streets? Very late, very early in the morning, near midnight, give or take, somewhere in through there. And he's speaking these words unto them as they go through the streets. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I'm thankful for the love one for another that the Lord has given us in our church. And may we look to cultivate that even more. May the Lord help us that we would express that love, and that love would be manifested in a greater way than it has been one with another. It's by the love, our love one for another. It's another way that the world can know that we are the disciples, the children of our Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, that we might love one another as Jesus has loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. And may the Lord help us that we would be willing to do so one for another. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So now the Lord talks about friendship. And again, it's back to his commandments. If we keep his commandments, we will abide in his love. If we keep his commandments, we show that we are his friends. More than a servant. More than a servant, but a friend. Henceforth I call you not servants. What a wonder this is. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. And he has, right here in his word. And his word is what we need to abide, part of what we need to abide in him. Verse 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Because his words contain what he has told us about all that he has heard from the Father, that he's made known to us. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me. But I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Remaining fruit. There's fruit that is manifested for now, each day, each moment of the day, as we work in the ministry, as we live our lives, as we operate in our families. I was talking, Clarissa and I were talking about this subject in a different way here in the past week about this very thing. On an individual's life, is impacted by the history of their ancestors. That comes down here. The operation and working of the parents, the situation of their life, what's manifested in them as they become an adult, and praise God, the touch and the work of the Lord. All these things go into what makes a person. And so some of these things we have no part with. But the things that we do have a part with, may we do well honoring to the Lord. Because it has an impact. It has an impact. Henceforth I call you not servants, verse 15, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, remaining fruit, evidenced even in individuals' lives. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And I tell you what, we stumble over that, just like he said, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. I think that anything that we ask that is honoring and glorifying to the Father, he will give. Anything that we ask amiss, well, I'll tell you what, we may get it, we may not. And sometimes things that we ask amiss, we may get to our detriment. Understand? We may get it, but it may be to our detriment. But that which we ask that glorifies the Father, we need to ask in faith, believing that we receive the things that we ask. That's what the Lord Jesus has said. And we look to reconcile that. And I think that we should pray and we should ask in particular. And so he says he's chosen us to be fruitful and to have fruit that remains. Our impact and our relationships. That whatsoever you shall ask of my Father, ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then he goes on here in this last part. Let's just read it quickly. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We're not alone. If you were of the world would love his own. Does the world love you? Does the world love me? But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. He had taught them this earlier. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. They'll be obedient to the word of the Lord. What's our saying? Our saying should be what the Lord has already said. Amen? But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no covering for their sin. The Lord peeled that all back of the leadership and that of the Gentiles. He openly revealed their transgression before God. Why? In summary, they rejected the Son of God that came as a man, telling the truth. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. A contrast, huh? Obeying the words of the Lord, who has given us the words of the Father, it manifests that we are the children of God. But hating the Lord and hating the word of the Lord and hating is evidence that we hate the Father. One would hate the Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. And you know what we are? We are a reflection of that very thing that is the Lord unto this lost and dying world. We are subject for them to take it out on us. But what's being evidenced is that they hate the Lord, his will, his way, and his word. Because if we're abiding in him, if we're loving like him, if we're speaking like him, it's going to be evidence that we are His. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Because what did the Lord do? What is it that we do? We do the same thing that our Lord does. That's what we're to be doing as we bear fruit, as we go forward. We tell the truth. And that's what folks need. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you need. You need the truth. You need the truth about sin, about the payment for sin, about the Savior, about the only one that can rescue you, the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. We understand about them being with the Lord Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. But can we take that and bring that down here to you and me with the time that we live? Well, I'll tell you what, the work of the Comforter in the church is the same. And we didn't see the Lord Jesus walk, and we didn't hear the Lord Jesus teach. We didn't physically with these eyes see our Lord Jesus do the miracles that he did, nor hang upon the tree, nor raise from the dead and hold his hands and hold his feet and embrace him after he rose from the dead. But I tell you what, through the Scripture, by the Spirit, we do hold to and believe and know of a surety that all those things from the beginning are true, aren't they? And we are the witness. We, the children of God, are the witness of those things. We believe these things and hold to these things just like we hold to and believe that we were physically born. I mean, were you physically born? Here you are. We believe these things about our Lord Jesus that he accomplished and did when he came to earth and became a man in his ministry, his gospel, the words that he spoke and the Bible that he's given. We believe them just as surely as we live today. And so it is to us too, isn't it? Because we are the witnesses for today. Abide in me. We are the branches, and he is the true vine. Again, that contrast that is brought out here between verses 3 through 5 and verse number 6, I encourage you to consider tonight, where is it that you stand in this? Do you know the vine? Are you abiding in him? I tell you, without him, you can do nothing. There will be no life. Look at the contrast once again with me quickly. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you believe the Lord's word? What he has said about you personally and about him personally and how they have to do with one another? The only way you can be clean, the only way you can be forgiven is by the word that God, the Lord Jesus, has proclaimed. He is the Savior that you need. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you have that word? Do you believe that word and rest in that word? The children of God do. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me, child of God. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. It's quite a contrast. The verse number 6, isn't it? If a man abide not in me, has not been washed by the water of the word, does not hold true or hold to those things that the word tells to them personally about them and about the Lord Jesus and their need. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You need the Lord. With the Lord, there is life, there's help, there's hope, no so hope, there's forgiveness, in the vine.